Again, we're up to pasuk lamed aleph. Okay, let's read, we did it yesterday. Let's do pasuk lamed aleph again. Chaf aleph pasuk lamed aleph. Let's review this pasuk again. Mi yagid al panav darkov hu asa mi shalom la. We learned yesterday two interpretations. No, I'm sorry. Let's go next. I'm sorry. Next pasuk. Pasuk lamed beis. I apologize. Next pasuk. Lamed beis. V'hu likvaros yuval v'al godish yishko. We just learned yesterday the mitzvahs. We'll read it again. We're describing the rush. The rush of this pasuk and these last two psukim, Eev is summarizing his belief, his disagreement with Tsofar, that the wicked have wonderful lives. It's true, there are yechidim, there are individuals, there are few individual wicked people who do suffer, but by and large, most of the wicked people prosper. And he writes here at the end, not only do they prosper in life, even in death, until they finally reach the Olam HaNeshamas, Olam HaEmes, even in death they have a very easy and pleasant departure. V'hu likvaros yuvol, this wicked man is brought to his grave. V'al godish yishkod, swiftly. Yishka means swiftly. Godish, swiftly they heap stones upon his grave, which means very quickly they erect a matseva. Like we mentioned yesterday from Rav Schwab, that in ancient times the way people were buried was by on top of the kever they put many small stones. Now, like today, we put one large stone. They made a mound of many small stones, and this all happens in super fast speed, which means that the neshama does not have to suffer, have to wait until it's at rest. Pasuk Aleph, let's read the mitzvah second. Pasuk Lamed Beis in the mitzvahs of who. When the wicked man, when his day comes, his time is over in this world, the wicked is zocher to have burial. He swiftly is buried upon a mound, in a grave. A grave is made like a godish. It's a heap. That's the way traditional graves. And someone mentioned yesterday that when a person is buried, they make what's called a tsuras hakever. They make a little bit of a mound. They do not delay. Good morning. How are you? They do not delay. Yismamohu, afal pisha achakla b'chol yom shavi afal pisha yismameha. Even though Mashiach delays, they have the same word here in the mitzudos. Even though there is no delay in the burial of this wicked man, leman lo yispaze achar hamisa, so that the dead should not have to. This dead man should not have to suffer, have to have a disgrace after death. His body will not decay in public. There will be no disgrace. He will be immediately buried. Now, why is it called a godish? So in the parentheses it says v'al godish al shem soifo ki achar hakvur nase tel. They make a mound. They make a mound for this. They make a mound upon his grave. Now let's see over here. Rashi pasuk lamed beis. Rashi quotes a very interesting medrash. V'hu likivros yuvol soifo yuvol lekever. The end is that this wicked man is brought into the grave. V'al godish yishkod kishu nikbar besados etzel hagedishim. So Rashi at first does not learn like the mitzudos. Doesn't tell us over here that what godish means, that the grave is a mound. Godish means a field. Godish means the people were buried outside the city, in the sodos, near the Godish. The Godish, they were the place where they would pile up the grain after the harvest is a Godish. And this Godish was located in the outskirts of the city. That's where the cemeteries traditionally were. That's all it means here. They quickly bring the person to the Godish, meaning they take him out of the city and they bring him to the field, to the cemetery, and they lay him to rest. Now, Rashi in the parentheses quotes a fascinating medrash. Del Godish Yishkod, Yodono Oso they judge him al shlokim hamitzvos hashayochim basode. This wicked man will ultimately pay, which is, we're going off the topic, but will ultimately be give din v'cheshvin for not fulfilling the mitzvos of the field, which are leket, shikcha, upeya, v'shar mitzvos hanayhagim ba'omer, the gadish, which apply to the omer, and the gadish, Omer seemingly means the heaping measure of measure of grain. With the goddess Shulchain Shaktu Vimaru Olav Haparonis Haga Me Resh Ayah. I'm not sure the Meresh Ayin stands for. This is a marginal note that was inserted, and it's I guess based on the Medrash that a person after he dies, a Rasha after he dies in the Olam HaEmes will be taken for Mishpat for not being mekayim the mitzvos of the Gadish, all of the laws that apply to the field. All right, that's just an interesting Medrash. Let's go next. Moskulo Rigvei Nachal Moskulo, it's sweet for him. Rigvei, clumps, Nachal of the valley, the Acharav Kol Adam Yimshach, and after him everyone is running. Ulufanov, and from before him Ein Mispar, there is no number. Now this simply means that this wicked man has a spectacular funeral, a state funeral. His body lies in the open. Everyone comes to what's called a wake. And everyone comes to visit him. Everyone comes to say goodbye to him, and it's shocking. Why should a wicked person merit such a sweet funeral? Muskulo, it's sweet for the dead. Rigvei means the clumps of earth of the Nachal. Nachal means the piece of land. He's given the select piece of land to serve as his burial, for his burial. He gets the best grave in the cemetery, the most expensive piece of real estate, prime real estate. That's called Rigvei, the clumps of earth of the Nachal, of the land. Nachal means a stream, but it's borrowed here in reference to a piece of land. And then people come running, the Achra of Adam Yimshach, and after his body, people are come. They extend. There's a procession, and from before him, there's no number. Let's take a look at the Mitzvah, David Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Moskulo. Tsuroro Safra Nachal Ashayikbabo, the pebbles of earth of the Nachal of the valley, Ashayikbabo, people buried in valleys, it appears. Halo Yimoseklo, it's sweet for him. Kever Bemokim Hamu'ula, which means he's given a grave in the choice location. Vahanifchar, the most select. V'yav kovod yasula b'mosu, they give him great honor. Ki achar aroinoi, after his coffin, yimoshech kol ha'odam l'lavoisai, people walk behind the procession. V'gam l'fonav yelchu, b'li mispar, but in front of them there are people without a number. L'hochen kol tzochek, for us to appear his needs, the burial for derech hasher, oisim l'gidolim v'chashuvim, just like what they do to the very great people. So here it's describing that life is not fair. It's not fair. The wicked, not only do they have honor and prestige in this world despite all of their crimes, they're given incredible honor after death. Their funerals go smoothly, there's no delay, there's no problem, and they are put to rest. Mr. Glatter, good morning, how are you?
Morgan.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lufan of Ein Mispar Limshachim Alos Oder Kol Eila Mazimos Tis Lufan Before Ein Mispar Limshachim Laoso Derech Kol Eila Mazimos Tachsimu Olai." All of these plans you have denied from upon me. I don't have clarity. I don't know what Rashi means. Maybe you have understanding what this Rashi means here. This Rashi is learning all these sukkim in an entirely different
oifen. People were coming,
yeah,
but the same type of Russian that he was. Ein mitzvah mishachal ha'isud derech
kol eila
mizimais.
All those initiatives.
These plans, these evil plans, like from Hamas.
Yeah.
Tichmasu alayim.
They plan evil upon me. So what is Rashi saying? Rashi appears to all these psukim in an entirely different fashion. According to the Mitzvot, these psukim are referring to the wicked. The wicked over here has a wonderful life. Rashi over here seems to be saying that he's going to suffer punishment. That this wicked man will ultimately get what he deserves but not now, at a later point in time. Pasuk Lamed Beis, Lekvaros Yuvol, V'Algodesh Yishkol, he brought to his grave, he will then be taken for judgment. Moskulo Rigvei Nachal, it's going to be sweet. What's going to be sweet for him? Death, but he's a Rasha. Why should it be sweet? The Acharav Kol Odom Yimshech, L'Lufonav Ein Mekei, it's not really sure. Let's leave it for now. Let's go further. Pasuk Lamed Aleph is the last pasuk of this perek where Musculo only means sweet. What does it mean, musculo? Musculo means only one thing. It's sweet for him, rigve. Rigve means a clump of earth. Nochal, at least according to the Mitzudos, nochal means the choice
but
piece.
It means, you know, the grave is sweet for him, you know. Go to a sweet place. It doesn't mean a positive thing.
Okay, all right, I don't know.
It's prepared for you and for all your people who go, for all these people, there's a beautiful place ready for you.
He's being sarcastic.
This beautiful place that there's hotels for the weekend.
So you want to say he's being sarcastic. He's being sarcastic. That's what you want to say. Okay, that's an idea. For this wicked man, he'll get what he deserves. He'll get you sweet revenge. And not only you, all the wicked people, all of your ilk, all your people will follow in your ways. There's no end to the wicked people in this world. The wicked people is massive. Gehenim, what did it say the Gemara? It says Gehenim is humongous. It's some guzma of how large Gehenim is relative to Gan Eden. Okay, let's go further. Pasik Lamidal, here he winds down, he says to his three friends, and he says specifically to Tzofar, the Eich Tinachamuni Hovel. How can you try to give me comfort with words of futility? Useshuvo Seichem Nishar Moal, and your responses are evil. Moal means are painful. They remain sinful. The way you speak to me is an avera. You accuse me of being a wicked man. You make me feel bad. You deny me the most basic thing a person expects in this world, which is to have friends and have comfort. As he said in the beginning of this parak or last parak, if it was the other way around, I would never speak to you the way you speak to me, and your conduct is nothing other than sinful. Pasuk Lamedal Mitzudos. And therefore it appears that there's no mashkiach, ve'ein gemul, ve'eich tenachamu osi be'imri hevel. When we observe the world, Eov maintains his position, we see that the wicked succeed, the wicked prosper. And that's an indication that there is no hashkach. He's going back here to his apikorsis. And that's an indication that Kadosh Baruch Hu allows the world to operate through the mazolos, without any divine interaction, any divine intervention. Since the wicked survive, nira in kain she'ein mashkiach, Hashem does not pay attention. The ein gemul, and in this world there is no reward and punishment. And therefore, how dare you tell me that I am a rasha? The eich tenachem osi beimri hevel. How dare you try to be comforted with words of futility by telling me that I am an evil man? Loimar, that I'm a rasha. And all I need to do is do tshuva, confess, acknowledge that I have sinned, and do tshuva, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive me, and I will once again succeed. Kisha eshoif, when I do tshuva, yiske acharisi, my end will be successful. Umayol teshuva, Eov maintains his position. What will repentance help in my situation? Im ein mashkiach, if there is no creator, if there is no one that is actually looking after this world, there's no purpose in me wasting my time and doing tshuva. Who am I doing tshuva to? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not watching, he's not present, he's not here. And that's on top of the fact that I have nothing to do tshuva for because I have not really sinned. Use tshuva sechem, ma shehishbatem li, ligmul harashoyim, this that you respond to me, that there is hashgacha pradis in this world, by taking note that the wicked people do suffer, the wicked people indeed are destroyed. Hine hechzavti osam. You have lied to me concerning them. It's an outright lie what you have said. Kimo otim hema. The people, the examples that you have given me are just one in a million. You'll pick out on a Rasha, you'll show me that he was destroyed, he is the exception. Asher yugmulu ra, that he suffered evil. Umiruba mehem, but look at the majority of the wicked people. Yikablu hatov, the vast majority accept good. V'nisharim kein teshuvas chemol. Therefore, the result is that with your response, your argument is mo'al of a sheker. It is sinful, and it is a lie. As we mentioned yesterday, it's not necessarily Eov and Tsofar are not necessarily they're both right, because they both have a different perspective. They're both referring, at least according to Rashi, different to Kufos in history. Eov is referring to the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul, they were all wicked people, and they all had wonderful lives. They suffered very little at all. And Tsofar is referring to the generation of Sodom, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tolerate wickedness. They were destroyed very quickly. Each one was looking at a different point in history, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is a very important lesson, that in every generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the generation has a different hanhaga. You can't prove the hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way Hashem dealt with man in one generation, and use it as a model of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deal with man in a different generation. In each tkuf in history, there's a different hashkacha. Sometimes Hashem is very tolerant, and sometimes Hashem is not so tolerant.
There is no standard, exactly.
Hashem has a standard. Hashem is MS, but you can't.
We don't know how he keeps it.
Right, you can't. This is a very important lesson. The hanhaga of the Dor HaMabul is not the hanhaga of the Dor of Anshei Sodom, and each one is trying to prove Eiv. Where does Eiv fit? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eiv, let's assume it's a different generation. If Eiv would be judged with the standard of the Dor HaMabul, then it wouldn't mean anything. Just because the Dor HaMabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed wicked people to prosper. The Hashem hid himself. There was a greater intensity of Hester Panim. Whereas the generation of the Dor of Sodom, there was less Hester Panim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu quickly and swiftly punished wicked people. So we don't know what Hashem's standards are for each particular generation. That is a very
philosophical question that we ask over and over. How could Hashem allow the Holocaust?
Exactly. So, but more than just the Holocaust,
no answer.
There's no answer. Absolutely. Many people today are trying to give answers. I mean, it's shocking. It's shocking. Rav Miller, he published a book where he gave an answer. He said why, but the legend is, it could be, he says in the Hagdama that he did not want, he gave instructions that this should not be published in his lifetime, because he says he knows it's very controversial, and he has to wait until after he dies for his opinion to be. There's another person very recently put out. I don't know. I didn't read the book.
Because the Jews sinned. He went through the whole
Torah. Yeah.
He proved how the Jews violated everything in the Torah.
So why do the tzaddikim? All right, I don't know. Yeah, these are not. Someone else put out a book recently. Another rabbi put out a book recently, also telling us why the Holocaust happened. Listen, you have a lot of reasons, but it's not for us. Let's review the summary in the Metzudos. What is the summary? What is the summary of this response? Listar Eov is coming to contradict Divrei Tsofar. Asher yochiach hashkocha miaflogas puranis harashoyim. Tsofar's thesis is there is hashkocha pratis, and the proof is look at the wicked. The wicked are defeated. Ki yoshev amorim loymar. Eov responds. Haloi, me'otim heima. You're right. There are a few yechidim that suffer, but they are few and far in between. Asher yagia lohem ha'poranios. The rubam, the vast majority of the wicked, yivlu, they live out. Yivlu means they live very long lives. Birtoiv yimehem, with goodness. V'lo yechushu b'mashiyeh livnehem achareyem. Another very fascinating point we learned in this parak is the wicked are aware that maybe it's true that in their lifetimes Hashem is tolerant of them. But a wicked person deep down knows that ultimately there will come a day of reckoning, and that will come upon their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, because it has to be Pekid Oven al Albanim Val Bnei Banim Val Shilashim Val Rebeim. The wicked say, I don't care, I'm not going to be around to see it, so I don't care. V'lo yachushu b'mesh sheyeh l'bneim achareyem. U'v'avur ki yiru asher b'yoyim ra'ahim b'tova. Being that the wicked people see that even when the world suffers tragedy, when there's a recession, or there's a depression, or when there's tragedy, they always escape by the skin of their teeth. They recognize that they have a special mazel to always escape tragedy. That strengthens there, that gives them more courage and more gaiva to act, to behave with chutzpah. They have nothing to worry about. And they have nothing but their joy. They see that all of their friends of their same kind have success. Even they die at the long lives. And not only that, when they die, everyone comes to give them honor. They have the most beautiful funeral. They're buried in the most luxurious mausoleum, and everything is the best, and that gives them courage to continue to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha Pratis.
And on top of that, it's that their example is followed by a lot of people.
Other people say, want to imitate them.
Look how they lived, and look what they sold. They copied.
So Eev says, from this you see that there is no, he's saying here words which border on apikorsis, there is no Hashkocha Pratis, and therefore, what's this all about? Why it's not fear that I should suffer, and there's no reason for me to do tshuva? It's a waste of time, especially when I have not done anything wrong, and the examples that you've presented are all false and fake. Now let's look at the last Rashi, this perek, try to figure this out. After your responses remain sinful, nishkecha v'avda mikem tshuvas hachochma, that's an indication that you have lost your minds. You're not wise people. We have to revoke your PhD. You don't have wisdom. U'teshuvasechem lo nishar b'yedchem, el teshuvas mo'al. What is the word mo'al? Mo'al shem davahu, it's a noun. L'chein ninkoid kuloi komatz. He's just telling us that the entire thing is a komatz. Now we don't have that. We have mo'al. Seemingly Rashi had a tradition that it was mo'al. Okay, so v'tamo mila'el, and it's not mila'el. We have it also mo'al. But I don't know, Rashi here seems to say that it should be kukamatz mila'el. I don't know what chavshin stands for. I don't know. Okay, so this, congratulations, Rabbi Yisrael, we have now concluded half of Sefer Eif. Okay, half done. So if someone asks you a question, and you say you don't know, and they say, but didn't you learn Eif? The other half. The other half. So you always can say, have an excuse. What? A siyam on half of Eif.
Half a bag of leaves.
Vayan Eliphaz Hatemani Vayomar. Now we start the third round of debates. Right? By the presidential debates, they usually have three rounds.
This is a legitimate stop round.
No, not necessarily. I mean, this is the end of the second round. The end of the second round. We've gone through three rounds. Eliphaz, Bildad, Sofar, each one presented their own argument, and Eev responded to each one twice. So we've gone through two volleys, two rounds of arguments. Now we come to the third round. Vayan Eliphaz Hatemani Vayomar. Eliphaz once again speaks up. Now Eliphaz over here is going to be even more forceful and more explicit. He's going to tell Eov, you are such a wicked person. There's just no end. There's no end to your wickedness. And here he's going to cite, it's very frightening, different, there's a lot to learn from what he says, and he's looking examples of his wickedness. So first thing he says, Pasuk Bey is a very, very hard Pasuk. And let's read the halakel yiskon gover ki yiskon olemo maskil. In this pasuk, we have the word yiskon or the sharish of samachof nun twice. Now this word Samach Chof Nun has one of two meanings. It means either benefits, as we find in reference to Avishag Hashunamis, that was her name, who was a sechenes for David. When David was old, his body was not producing heat, and they brought for him a young woman, and she was a vaitihilo lisoichones. She would be for him as one who provides benefit. It means provide for him body heat. So in that context, it means benefit. The word yiskon also means herigol, what you are accustomed to. For example, the animal, the chamors, the ason, the donkey said to Bilam, "Ha haskein hiskanti la sos lecho ko." Is it my custom to cause you to stop in the middle of the road, to go to the side of the road? Have I ever done you any harm? Is it my custom? In that context, which Rashi will quote in a few moments, it means herigul, what you are used to. So the big question here, which is discussed by Rashi, by the Mesudas, and all the Farshim, is how do you translate the word in this pasuk yiskon? Does it mean benefit, or does it mean what you are accustomed to? And now the word maskil in this pasuk, the word haskol means enlightenment, which we know is a word which is used for wisdom, a very high and significant degree of wisdom. Now when you take the word wisdom together with the word yiskon, either it means, seemingly means to benefit from wisdom. And we have here the word gover, and we have the word kel, so we have a whole concoction of words. We have to figure out what this means. So now, Rashi, yep.
Does anyone mention the word sakana?
No, they don't seem to use that word in reference, not from what I've seen. They don't seem to make reference to sakana in this pasuk. It could be there are many interpretations of this pasuk. It could be many rishonim. Everyone has a different take on this pasuk. And the other issue is, do the two words have to be consistent? Maybe the two words can have a different meaning, which Rashi says the first word might mean benefit, and the second word may mean hergul, what you are accustomed to. So these are all the different variables in attempting to translate this pasuk. Now, with that in mind, let's look at the Mitzudos, how he attempts to translate this very difficult pasuk. Pasuk Beis. Halakel, the chilakel yoel v'yehene hagever b'tzidko. Right away, Rash, in the Mitzudos from the outset, says the word yiskon means benefit, like v'atihiloi soichones. And here it says, does Hashem have any benefit from man's righteousness? Ella hamaskil, but the wise man yoel v'yehene es atzmo. El Atzmo. The only one that has benefit from wisdom is the wise man himself. Uvihios Kain. Now, what does this pasuk then mean? Here he tries to explain. Ma lo lachashiv lucha b'chdei shetamud b'tzidkascha. What benefit is there to you to respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ma lo lachashiv lucha. What benefit will Hashem have to respond to you, shetamoid bitzid koscha, haloi ma lo baze, what does Hashem get out of this? Now, what does that mean exactly? So seemingly what he seems to say is, one of Eve's complaints that he's been making throughout the entire Sefer is, Ribbono shel Olam, speak up, explain this to me. Eve is demanding over and over, I want an explanation why I suffer. So Bildad says, Hashem has nothing to gain by explaining this to you. That's what he seems to be saying. Hashem has nothing to gain, nothing to lose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond beyond this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom, Hashem does not need man. Man has to humble himself to recognize that. Don't make demands and expectations from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no obligation and no benefit from man's understanding of him.
Rami did explain it to him. He said, shall I withhold something from...
Not at the time. When Hashem told Avram, I want you to sacrifice Yitzchak.
No, but the Mice of Sodom.
He's talking about Sodom.
Mice of Sodom. Hamachas ani mi'Avram. Hashem just revealed to Avram that he's going to destroy Sodom. Hashem did not tell Avraham did not tell Avraham, explain to him why. Maybe they're wicked. I mean, they were wicked. They deserve suffering. That wasn't the question. Here, the question. There wasn't a question in that instance. Here, the people deserve to die. They were wicked. Here, Eve claims, "I'm a tzaddik viralo, and I am entitled. I am entitled to know why." Eliphaz saying, "No, you're not. Who do you think you are? What do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your buddy? He's your buddy, and he has an obligation, a shibud, to explain to you why. Hashem has nothing to gain by telling you why he's doing this, bringing this upon you. Just sit it out, suffer it out, and accept it upon yourself." That seemingly is the way the Mitzudos learns this pasuk. So now, with that in mind, let's read the words inside again. Halakel Yiskon Gover. Does Hashem benefit if man understands? It's hard, the words don't really fit well. Halakel means, does Hashem, Yiskon means benefit, does Hashem have benefit, Gover, to respond to man? You have to add many words into the pasuk, to respond to man and explain to him why he suffers, or why things happen. It's a rhetorical question. The answer is no. Hashem has nothing to gain from this. Ki Yiskon Olemo Maskil. What?
The person would benefit.
The person benefits. Just like ki, as if, or ki Yiskon Olemo Maskil. If when the Olemo means upon himself, the Maskil, the wise man, Yiskon having benefit. The wise man will benefit if he understands why things are happening. But Hashem does not have any benefit.
Does not have any benefit out of
revealing to man why things happen. Therefore, we have to now say a big therefore. Why do you think you are, Hashem is obligated to respond and explain? It's true, you will have very great benefit of understanding why you suffer. But Hashem will not have any benefit if you understand why you suffer. Therefore, Hashem has no obligation to explain this to you. It's too bad for you. That's seemingly the way the Mitzudos learns this pasuk.
Excuse me, you said Lasor Nahadrua Liosreno. Lasor Somboreno, what does mean Nahadrua?
I don't understand. A person does a mitzvah, Hashem has satisfaction. Hashem has satisfaction, not that Hashem needs satisfaction. Hashem. I don't know how to answer. Let's just try to figure out this pasuk first. Let's read the words again. It's a very, I read this, I'm not exaggerating, at least 10 times in preparation. I still don't.
The nachas ruach is that the person who does the mitzvah is the nachas ruach.
The person has nachas ruach, that he did Hashem's will.
Your grandfather, you see your grandchild eating a nice piece of candy, he's enjoying it. You're having nachas that he's enjoying. You don't have anything out of it. That he's enjoying it. That's
okay. Let's read again. Okay, let's read this again one more time. The words of the Mitzudos. Try to make sense out of this. V'chi lekel yoyel v'yehene hagever b'tzidko. Does Hashem have benefit when a man understands his righteousness? Hashem does not derive any benefit when a human being understands something, understands the reason why something is happening. Hashem does not derive any benefit. El, the one who derives benefit is El Hamaskil Yoyel V'Yehene Satzmo. The wise man himself who understands why things are happening, he derives benefit. Therefore, Uviyoskein. Now that we have laid out that foundation, everything that he says in Uviyoskein is not in the Pasuk. Okay? According to the Mitzudos, the Pasuk is stopping right smack in the middle. It's making a statement, and then you have to add everything else that he writes over here from the words of the Yoskein is all in addition. That's why this interpretation is very forced. He's adding so much. That's his derech, and he's speaking very often. He adds a lot of words into the pasuk that it does not say, and he assumes that's what the pasuk means because that's the style of writing in Sefer Yov. So it's a question. Does Hashem derive benefit the same way a human being derives benefit when he understands? Of course not. If you, the human being, understand something, good for you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have any satisfaction that you understand it. So therefore what? Therefore, uvihiyos kein, we have to add all this into the pasuk, therefore, ma lo lahashiv lecha. Why do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entitled, is required to respond to you,
is answerable
to you, to explain to you that you should have this benefit of understanding why this happens? Hashem will not get anything out of this. That you will be able now to stand in your righteousness, meaning that you'll be able to understand why this is happening. What will Hashem get out of this? Rashi is obviously very different. Look at Rashi pasuk beis. Halakel yiskum gever. Halitzorich ulahanos hayotzer, for the needs and for the benefit of the Creator. Yoyel gever. Does a man have benefits? V'yehene kasher yilmod das es habrios el habrios v'chochma. So first of all, we have to understand the word over here. Yehone. The word Rashi is the word that to teach that. Okay, one more time. Halitzorich ulahanos hayotzer. For the needs and benefit of the Creator.
That's the Yiskon.
What?
That's the Yiskon.
Yiskon. Okay. For the benefit. Yoyel gever. Is it to the benefit of man? The Yehene. Kasha yilmad das el habrios v'chochma, to teach knowledge to people in wisdom. So according to Rashi explains this right away. Right. Rashi, the point is that the first Yiskon means benefit, and the second Yiskon means to teach, because teaching is synonymous with what you are accustomed to. When a person is hergel means what you're accustomed to, is based upon your knowledge. Now Rashi explains, let's read the word next to Rashi. Yiskon harishon, the first yiskon is loshon hanoya, pleasure. Kamo v'atihilo sochenes, in reference to this woman that was served of it. V'asheni loshon limud, it means what you are accustomed to. Kamo hahaskein hiskanti. Now that's Rashi's first interpretation. Therefore, this pasuk then means, according to Rashi, that Hashem does not derive any benefit when one man teaches another. One man teaches another man wisdom. Halakel.
I don't know, but he says over here that it means the teaching part.
Yeah.
Says, do you think that you could teach God anything? In other words, you may want it. You think you understand it, so now you're going to explain it to God. Are you foolish enough to think that God, you know something that he doesn't know? Whatever you know, he knows. So you can't teach him anything. So you're going to try to explain it to him? That's what he says, the two Mepharshim and Rashi. This is in the Sassino. He says the two, one is like what you said, and the second one to teach.
Yeah.
You think you could teach God anything?
That's the second interpretation.
Right.
Harisha, right.
The second one.
The second one.
You think you could teach God something?
But that's the second. We didn't get there yet. But what? How do you?
How you said it.
I didn't really understand what I said. What is the first interpretation? What is the first interpretation? The first interpretation.
What is your benefit? God doesn't care if you understand or you don't understand.
Hashem does not understand.
He doesn't care if you understand it or not. So if you get benefit out of it, great. But God doesn't care.
So that means, does Hashem, so translate the words,
yes.
Halakel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yiskon, is there benefit? Gover, if a man,
God benefit if you understand.
To Yiskon, Olei Mamask, if you understand something. Hashem,
no, right. Does God care if you understand why what's happening is happening or not?
So in essence, Rashi, he's not translating the words exactly the same
right.
Like the Mitzudos.
Right.
According to the Mitzudos, both words Yiskon mean benefit. Hashem does not have any benefit this, if man has benefit. According to Rashi, it's the same.
Help him at all because he is God.
So according to Rashi, it's the same exact thing. It's just that instead of the second benefit, it means understanding. Does Hashem have benefit if you understand or not? The answer is no. Hashem could not doesn't affect the Kadosh Baruch Hu's
one way
or other. If you understand or don't understand, so don't make demands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to explain to you why you suffer. Hashem has nothing in it for Himself, so it's not proper for you to make those demands. But so Rashi is saying exactly
gains
nothing. So he's saying the same interpretation as the Mitzudos. What?
I would think you would care.
No, because we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, you're touching on something very powerful. We relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a God that wants to do good. HaKel HaGadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia. The essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to give, is to benefit the recipients. But that's only because but it's not something we can demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu does kindness by doing good to man, by loving a human being, by bestowing upon man blessing. This is the need of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem doesn't have to do this. It's false to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of the DNA of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, He must bestow upon man kindness. If we suffer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to take away our suffering. If we don't understand something and we are in a state of pain, Hashem must make sure that we understand things so that we will be not in a state of suffering. That is apikorsis.
But that's not what Rashi is doing.
Rashi is
he's combining two concepts, benefit and learning from it. And Rashi himself goes on to say...
Well, that's the second interpretation. There are two interpretations.
He combines them. You look at the end of the Rashi.
The end of the Rashi is the second interpretation. The Gan Yitochin... That's a different interpretation. That's a different interpretation. If I'm not mistaken, that's a different translation of the Pasuk. But in the first interpretation of the Pasuk, Rashi, in essence, is saying the same exact thing as the Mitzudos, except he's translating the second Yiskon as knowledge instead of benefit, and it has the same meaning. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have benefit if man understands or if man does not understand? According to the Mitzvah, what?
Is it basically, what need does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need benefit? Why does he need benefit?
He doesn't need benefit, that's exactly the point.
It's not a question even.
But Eev seems to be saying that it is. The fact that Eev is making demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you must explain to me why I suffer. It appears that Eev is of the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bound by a certain set of rules. And he's not.
But we've had so many examples of where he's upset that we're not abiding by it. He's not that he doesn't care. He does care. He does care.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos are Lifnim Mishur Sadin. Hashem goes out of His way to love us and to bestow upon man kindness. But Hashem is not, and He does that beyond doubt. But Hashem is not required to do so. Now you'll ask, what's the difference? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway 100% of the time will bestow upon man chesed, so what difference does it make? He's not required to do so. The nafkamin is how you address HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how you speak to Him. If you work, for example, if you work for someone, I work for you, and because I work by the hour, you owe me a certain amount of money. There's a contract. We have a contract. The contract is, I will work and you will pay me. I have a right to go to my boss and say to him, you have not given me my paycheck. I demand my paycheck. If you don't give me my paycheck, I'm going to take you to court. Because I have here a contract that says you must pay me. On the other hand, if you do not have a contract and you say to your boss, I'm going to work for free, this is a chesed organization, I'm going to work for free, and at the end of the season, I get a bonus. The boss says, listen, you've worked for free, but you've been very good, and we have surplus, and I'll give you a bonus. And this goes on for 20 years, and now it's year 21. And now the boss doesn't give you a bonus. Do you have a right to go to your boss and say to the boss, I demand the bonus? No! The arrangement was, you're going to work for free. If I give you a bonus, that's out of the goodness of my heart. It's a bonus. You have no right to make demands. So there's no question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu 100% of the time bestows upon me in kindness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us bonus. HaKadosh Hashem does everything. But Hashem is not bound. He's not required to do this for us. Therefore, you have no right to make such demands on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In essence, that is what the Mitzudas and Rashi are saying. They're saying, if you, and this until now, have always made demands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to come with you to judgment, to a court of law, to explain why you suffer. Eliphaz says to Eliphaz, you have no right to make those demands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not, there's no contract. Hashem gets nothing out of you understanding or not understanding, you deriving benefit or not deriving benefit, and therefore you have no right to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a fashion. Similarly, this is the essence of what Rashi.
I think part of the problem is the concept here is that we all believe in Olam Haba. We all believe that we suffer here, hopefully that we will get repaid for whatever we do. But if, let's say, you take that all out of the equation and know that when your life is over here and it puts you in the ground, it's over. There's absolutely nothing to think about. There's no future whatsoever. If you have that mindset, you're going to think like Eve. I mean, if everything is here, then why should I suffer? And if I'm suffering and God lets me suffer, then there's no point. If somebody who's evil has a good time and I don't, then there is no point. There's no future, period. It's over.
Okay, let's go further.
I think your approach.
Yes.
I think your approach.
Okay, let's go further.
Now, what is the question we just said? Shmuel.
All the years of reading it. Yeah.
Shmuel, I take your approach. Okay. You're a righteous person on this earth. Yeah. Do good, which is exactly Eve's position. Why do I suffer in this world? If I'm
So Eve is at odds with that.
Right, so maybe he believes in Olam Haba as well. He says, I'm going to win. I'm looking here, what did I do wrong, Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you're making me suffer now?
No, if he believed in Olam Haba, then he would say, all right, so God is paying me for whatever it is I'm suffering now, because in the future it will be great.
Wrong.
But if there is no Olam Haba, which I believe,
then
putting money in the bank.
You can't have
a bank. There's no interest.
Well, if he didn't do anything wrong, why is he suffering from Olam Haba? That's
just
basically. Even if
he believes in Allah. Okay, let's go further. Okay, Rabbi Sai.
That's the question on the table. That's exactly it.
No answer to these things.
Okay, Rabbi Sai, let's go further.
He wants an answer.
Okay, can I have your attention, please? Okay, Rabbi Sai. Okay, Rabbi Sai, let's continue. Pasuk, let's just go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk repeats the same idea. Hachefetz l'shakai ki titztok v'imbetza ki sateim derachecha. Does Hashem have any benefit? Hachefetz over here means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desire. Now Hashem, of course, desires man should be good, but over here in the context it means, does Hashem have any benefit if man is righteous? V'imbetza. Does Hashem have profit? What do you think? You can buy Hashem, you can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu money. Will Hashem have profit? Ki satem derachecha, your ways are righteous. It's exactly the same thing. This is just repetition. The Mila Shonas, repetition, the same idea, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have any profit if a man is righteous. In other words, how do you make the same idea we had before? I kindly asked Olam if we can try to minimize the conversations we have among ourselves. It's very disturbing. Please. Okay, the next again, the Pasuk Gimel is the same idea. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have any benefit if man views himself as a righteous person? What it says in Pasuk Beis is exactly what it's saying in Pasuk Gimel in just other words. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos David Pasuk Gimel HaChayves. V'rimat tzorech bo l'shakai. What benefit does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in tiyat tzadik if you will be a tzadik? What are you trying to say here? That you're a tzadik and you want to prove to the world that you're a tzadik, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to respond and explain to you what's happening and let the world understand that indeed you are a tzadik? If, to a very large degree, in the Sefer is demanding vindication. He very much wants a recognition from his friends and from the world that I am a tzaddik. It appears that the common thing that was being said about Eov, the reputation that he had in this world, is a rasha. That the fact that he is suffering to such a degree, must be Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Eov. Eov has committed crimes, averos in secret that no one knows about, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is revealing to the world his rasha through these averos. And Eov wants to clear his name. He wants vindication. That's what he's desperately trying for. It's interesting. Part of the suffering is not just the physical suffering; it's the psychological suffering, the loss of his good name, his reputation, his legacy. And he keeps on making these demands. So Eliphaz says to him, "What do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have any? You're making demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has an obligation. He has to answer you. He's answerable to you. What will Hashem get out of this? Nothing." Nothing. And being that Hashem will get nothing out of restoring your good reputation, you have no right to make such demands. You may, if you want to be mispala, you want to make a proper request with humility, maybe yes. But your tone of expression to demand is not correct, because Hashem has no contract with you and has no obligation to respond. What benefit is there or need is there for Hashem in tiyat tzaddik if you will be declared a tzaddik? Betz always means money, monetary gain. Will the bank account be increased in telech if you're going to go b'derech tam in a way of righteousness to be declared a tzaddik? Okay, next pasuk. Rashi says same idea. V'chefetz b'lashakai kamo kima chefzo bebeisay ach. The word chefzo, you're just using the pasuk where it says it's chefzo means benefit. Hahano, the word chefetz sometimes means benefit. V'chashash lo im titzdak masecha, if your deeds will be righteous. Behisvakeach lefonav, when you debate with him. Shayovo imach lehisvakeach bedvarech. Rashi hits the nail on the head. It's on the mark. Explains what the issue is. You want an open debate. You want a forum to debate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to prove your innocence. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu come and to this debate? What's in it for him? He has no obligation. What is min? Min is a nothing connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Dal. Here we repeat. Yeah.
So if we take that as a theory, what was the whole start of the Maestro?
Well, that's what we're trying to uncover. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's exactly what we're trying to uncover. Yeah.
What did Hashem gain if Eov had triumphed and did exactly what Hashem wanted? If we go along, Hashem has no benefit, no nothing. So what was the whole test?
The test is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do good with man. Hashem wants to... Okay, I don't have a clear answer.
Because he has to. He wanted Yamsuf to distract the Satan. Mm-hmm. He had a plan. He wanted the Satan out of the way.
Okay, those are midrashim. You're asking a very good question, and I don't have clarity. Let's just try to read. Maybe through reading the psukim. Let's try to go a little, cover some ground. Yes, he is an ish tzaddik.
He's going to give this word condolence and
the hamat. Yes, he is an ish tzaddik. Let's read.
I know. I would like to say, what's in it for Hashem? Is there such a thing?
That's what it says here. That's what they're saying to him. I'm not saying this.
Doesn't matter if you like it.
Has to happen.
That's the point.
Something special for him.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not under a contract to do with us good. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that 100% of the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us chesed.
Right.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu has love for us.
That's why the word in it, I don't understand.
Hashem has infinite love for us. However, Hashem doesn't have to do this. He does it. Let's not make a mistake. But Hashem is not under a contract. He did not sign a contract. Therefore, l'may nafkemina, what is the difference? If Hashem will anyway bestow upon man the infinite chesed, so what difference does it make? The difference is how you speak to Hashem. If you have the example that we have given, if you have a contract with an employer, You have a right to speak to him with a certain degree of chutzpah. I have worked, I signed the contract, I've done my part, and now you have to do your part. You signed the contract. We both signed the contract. But if I never signed the contract, and from the very beginning I volunteered to serve you, and over in the past you've always reciprocated by giving me gifts and benefits, that's more than I deserve, because that was not part of the arrangement. I never have a right at any point in time later, when the benefits and the gifts stop, to come to my to you and make demands, because we're not under contract. That's seemingly what Eliphaz is telling Eliphaz. You have no right to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this fashion, to demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should vindicate you as a tzaddik. You have no demands, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and beyond anything that we can understand, and Hashem has no obligations. It's true, Hashem may ultimately declare you as a tzaddik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately will reward you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is loyba, does not come upon this world to bring harm to his creatures. We know that, but that's only because of Hashem's good migos. But Hashem has no obligation to do so, and therefore you have no right to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the fashion that you're talking, in the way you're talking. Now he says another, the third pasuk is the same exact thing, pasuk Dalet. He's even more strong. Do you think Hashem is afraid of you? You talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if you're in a boxing ring, and you're holding on, you're ready to punch out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't answer me, if you don't come to court, I'm going to punish you, Hashem. It's Apikursus. Is Hashem afraid of you? Is it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is afraid of you, he's going to respond? Yochichecha means, in this context, to respond and debate with you. Yavoi imcha b'mishpat. Hashem's going to come to court, and you're going to issue a seruf. You're going to go to court, and you're going to write, Hashem has refused. I refuse to come to Beis Din. And when Hashem sees that when Hashem receives the seruf, Hashem is afraid. Who knows what they're going to say about me online? No one's going to be mashanech with my children. Is Hashem afraid of you? And because of this fear, he's going to come to court and debate? It's nonsense. This is shtus. But Eliyahu, from your words and from your expression and your manners and your whole approach, that's exactly what it seems. Listen to yourself. Pasuk Dalet in
but we do have a contract with God. The press is a contract with God. If we're good, we follow his
excellent. You're saying good. You're saying that Hashem made with us a bris. Excellent. It's a very good point. But the answer must be... Okay, there are many answers to the question. You're touching upon... Right, that's a very good point. Who says Ziv was Jewish? So Eve not necessarily is included in the bris. Even if we want to say there is a bris, there is in part of the bris. Obviously, the bris that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates with a different set of rules. It's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guaranteed to be good on his end, but still we don't have a right to speak to him in this fashion.
Yeah, you see?
Okay, yes, very good. There is a bris. All right, you're asking a good question. Let's leave with the question. But generally speaking,
is if there is a bris, then you are good.
A bris is a contract.
And
we do have a right.
He's had to, even though you're good.
Okay, yeah, you're saying you're good.
You have a right to question.
You have a right to question, right? But in this, exactly. To the degree that Eov speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it appears to Eliphaz that he's going way too far. Eliphaz here is on the mark. Right? You know, certain things Eliphaz says is way off the mark, but over here it appears that Eliphaz is saying something that is very, we can relate to. A person has to know how far to go and how you speak to someone who...
Exactly.
How you speak to someone. Okay, let's see Pasuk Dalet, the Mitzvot, and Rashi Pasuk Dalet. Ha-mi-yiroscha, v'chi-bavur yiroscha osach. Do you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is afraid of you? Le-bal tarshia? What is Hashem afraid of? That if Hashem, you don't explain to me what's going on over here, you know what? I'm going to go out into the world, and I'm going to do more averos. You're threatening Hashem. I'm going to sin. I'm going to eat chazer. I'm going to mechal Shabbos. You think Hashem is afraid of you? That, and therefore you demand Yisvakeach imach. Hashem, therefore, is going to be forced. You're going to twist Hashem's arm. He's going to come to court and debate with you. V'yavo imach b'mishpat. Halay maloyim tashi. Hashem couldn't care less. You want to go off the derech? So go off the derech. Hashem makes a difference. It makes a difference if you're religious, you're not religious. You threaten Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi, hamiyrascha yachichecha. Oh, im meyira sheyira miponecha yavo v'yisvakeach imach. Same exact thing as the mitzvot. Because Hashem is afraid of you, he's going to go and debate with you in court. Pasuk hey, hello. Now he goes on to say, Eov, the bottom line is, he now goes on a tirade. This is, I think, Eliphaz's last speech, if I'm not mistaken. But here he says, Eov, you are the epitome of evil. And he now begins to enumerate a host of sins that Eve has done, the worst of the worst. And from this we can learn from in our own dealings with our friends what exactly are the worst possible sins. Halo ro oscha rabba, your evil is very great. The enkates la'avoy no secha, there's no end to your sins. Two different types of sins. Pasuk, now let's see Pasuk in the Mitzudos first. Okay, let's see what it says. Haloi rosta koimer. He means to say avlani ashivcha milin ba'avuro. Eliphaz now says, I will take up Hashem's case. I will speak on his behalf. I will tell you, Eve, you are a Rasha. Shahadini mo bidvar hayisum, you deserve what you're getting. Habomulecha ki alo. Now here, Eve over here, Eliphaz over here is out of line. And halo ruascha rabrat slama legodel kamoyscha. Now he says something here new. The Mitzudos ends in a whole new interpretation that we have not yet had until now in this sefer. He adds this into the fine print. I don't know how he gets this in the pasuk. Ki legodel kamoyscha yechoshev kol dovar larav. Eov, you have to understand, you're a very great person. You're a very holy person. You have great potential. And by you, a small sin, even a small microscopic sin, is viewed in the world, is magnified and super magnified, and carries enormous influence throughout the entire world. Therefore, a small sin by you is equal to a very great sin to the average person. Therefore, you are going to be punished for your minor imperfections. Ki legodol shek kemoscha, a great person like you, yechoshev kol dovar l'rav, every single thing that you do is considered to be very great. Ki harbe yiwai, everyone is watching. Harbe yilmedu mimcha, everyone is going to learn from you. V'zen, therefore, ein keitz la'avonosecha, there is no end to your sins. Ki hakol bo mimcha, v'toli b'cha, everything comes from you, and everyone is dependent upon you. You're a public figure, and you're small, and your small sins are super magnified. Look in the Rashi. Rashi, halo yodeahu ki roscha rabo, your sin is very great. So here, the Mitzudos adds in this new idea. He's a role model, and minor sins are magnified, and they're studied by the masses, and people expand upon them, and they learn. And now he's going to begin to enumerate all of the different crimes that he has committed, at least microscopically, which people have elaborated upon. Okay, we'll stop over here.